as Mike knows, hasn't been a part of it, so I don't want him to be indicted if I get indicted. But we do have a way that we've come up with for controlling the judges that, you know, involve a little exchange of cash. We have, no, seriously, that's only for those of you out there. My name is Phil Schwartz. Anyway, no, seriously, I have a running gag with one of the ISC judges in Chicago. His name is Jim, and we were there, as I said, in 2020, and he was under the car looking. When he came out from, I mean, there's seven judges. They're all over the car with flashlights. You've probably witnessed it. And I said, hey, Jim, did you see the money? Did you find the money? He said, no, where was the money? I said, I can't get under there with you. It'll be too obvious.
Hey, welcome to Car Guy Confessions, brought to you by ARP. I'm Jeff Smith. This is my car buddy, Cam Bansy, and car builder, Steve Strope. And we're going to tell you some stories.
Welcome to another episode of Car Guy Confessions with Jeff Smith. I got a couple of special guest stars here. So Cam and Steve are not here right now. We're at the Oakland Roadster Show, the Grand National Roadster Show. I've already screwed up already, right? But before we go any further, brought to you by our friends at arp-bolts.com. We want to make sure and thank them. They're here at the show. They brought the Streamliner. So it's here. I went over and I did this. I went over and have you looked at it? Awesome. So before we introduce my guest, real quickly, we had a near disaster this morning. So I had to drop off a car that Kevin helped runs this show here. Kevin Doyle, thank you very much for the facility here and everything. And your boss, John Buck, we want to make sure and thank all those guys. So brought his car back to him this morning, right? Because my daughter needs it. It's like, fine, no problem. And then I'll have another buddy run me up to the airport. I got all the way to his house and I forgot my wallet back in Simi Valley, which is like an hour and a half that way.
Of course.
It was like, oh no. So a very long story short, Evan Perkins, another shout out for a friend that says, here, just take my dad's truck. You know, so he gave me his truck, drove all the way back to Simi Valley, got my wallet, come all the way back here. I just got here. So it was like, it was adventure this morning. And I thought, well, you know what? This is better to happen today than on Monday morning on my flight home where I get to the airport and go, right? And that would have been evil. That would have been evil. Okay, so enough of that. Meet Mike Filion?
Yes.
And Jeff Hess? Now, so just tell us about the car first. You built the car for Jeff, right?
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
Tell us about the car.
Well, excited, you know, to get Builder of the Year.
Major achievement.
It is.
Yeah. How many competitors?
Just myself.
That's a great answer. I like that answer. I'll remember that one.
John Buck called me up a few months ago.
Okay.
And I was totally nervous. You know, I was just like, you're picking me? Why are you picking me? I had, you know, I got off the phone with him and I had a little bit of tears in my eyes.
Yeah.
You know, and the wife's like, what's going on? Something wrong. I go, no, John Buck called me up and awarded me Builder of the Year, you know? So she's like, oh my God, that's amazing. So of course I called friends, I called family, so excited.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't but a couple hours later, I was like, oh wow. She's like, what's wrong? I go, I'm kind of bummed. They picked me. Don't they pick older people for this award? You know, so it's true. I was just like, wait a minute here, you know? So like they say, a fine wine, you know, I guess that's, well, whatever. So it was good. Yeah, the car is a 56 Oldsmobile.
Yes.
Jeff is the owner, so it's a full custom. It was about 8 years in the build.
8 years.
Yeah.
Wow, because these things don't happen overnight.
No.
Oh,
no,
man.
No.
So I was just overlooking. I just went to go say hi to my friend Scott Sullivan. He's got a 61 over there that he built for a customer, and that was probably a 3 or 4 year build, I think, so like 5 years, something like that.
Yeah.
These things don't happen overnight, and people don't really appreciate the effort that goes into this stuff.
You know? With the car, our first show was in Detroit.
Okay.
Competing for Riddler.
It's a
grade 8 car.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, these awards, it just takes time.
The
car has to be perfect.
Yeah. And you have to have the right owner. Because I know from talking to people who understand the effort that's required and the money that's required to put this at that point. Which, you know, so kudos to you because you have to be able to trust your builder, right?
Well, towards the end, I had to get second and third jobs.
And he had a bigger whip.
Towards the end, I was making donuts for Dunkin' Donuts.
Okay.
Three in the morning.
So you were out by the side of the freeway with a sign?
No.
Okay. Didn't have to go that far.
I was actually employed. I wasn't begging.
Okay.
And I was with Dunkin' Donuts.
Mm-hmm.
3 in the morning. Then at 6 in the morning, I would go to pick up my newspapers and have my newspaper delivery.
Okay.
And then I would go to my third job, the Rossi Rule.
The Rossi Rule.
And then I would go to my third job. Wait, I'm retired. I don't have a third job. But you get the idea, right? You know, 8 years is.
Sure.
I'm able to sit upright because I'm sitting on canceled checks.
So the beginning of this, where did this start? Was this like a car that you, in your head, you always wanted to build?
Well, my history is I grew up in the East in the 50s, and my first car was a 1956 Oldsmobile that I got some customization done, which was very, very hard in those days.
Uh-huh.
Back in the East, number one, they didn't know, and I was learning everything from magazines out here.
Sure.
And I've been blessed to meet Gene Winfield and Daryl Staubert and John D'Agostino.
And all the heroes of the custom.
People that I read about when I was a kid, they're all in their 90s now.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it was the car that I would have built back then if I had the knowledge and the money.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Both of which I acquired over many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
But Mike and I have done other cars together, and they've all been top notch.
Uh-huh.
And this one just came out better than I could absolutely imagine.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And we've gotten so many nice awards and nice, you know, accolades from people. People seem to really.
But it started with a vision in your head of what you
knew
it could
look like. Yeah, I actually
found
a sketch that I had done, oh God, probably 30 years ago. And it was basically the same car. And then I redid it I didn't even know I had the first sketch. And I redid it around December of 2012. We had bought the car at Bakersfield in the end of April of 2012.
Okay.
June of 2012 is when we started. And we squeezed like heck to get it in to the Roadster to the Autorama in Detroit by the end of February.
Yeah. So Thrash is there. It's like,
last minute.
Oh my God. Yeah. I have so many friends that are car builders, and Pete Santini, you know, my painter and stuff like that. And the Thrashes that come in weeks before.
Sure.
A side story is my friend Will Hansel is working for General Motors, and for many years they would have custom cars that they would, you know, concept cars and things like that. And he was offered that position and was smart enough to go, not on your life.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a 24/7 Thrash. And at the last minute, his managers are very famous for going, I don't like that. Change that. Right. And you're a week away from the show and you have to rip the thing.
What happened with the car?
Really?
It was literally a week away before we had to go to Detroit and buffing the car. We color sanded through the clear.
Oh, no.
So Doug Starbuck from Starside Design, he came out, you know, a week before.
And worked magic.
Worked magic. Mm-hmm. That's a good word for it. Yeah. It happens, you know.
Yeah, well, that's when it's nice to have good friends who are qualified to do that kind of stuff.
Very true.
Yeah. So eight years, you said, to build a car.
Eight
amazing.
Years,
And what's the drivetrain?
Drivetrain, it's a custom frame that we built, link system in the rear. The motor, motor transmission, Dodge Hemi.
Okay.
Chrysler Hemi, 354.
An early one.
Yeah.
Early one. Okay.
Early Hemi.
Because that fits the style of the car.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you'd put a Gen 3 Hemi in, it wouldn't
look
the vibe.
Right. And that's what we were trying to do with the car. So everything that you look at, and there's a lot of things from the taillights. A lot of people look at the taillights and go, wow, those Packard taillights. Well, they are a one-off handmade bezel. The lenses are 3D printed to resemble a Packard. So there's many things on that car.
So is there a lot of stuff that's 3D printed on this car?
The taillights and the headlights.
Okay. Okay.
Those are 3D printed.
Okay.
Everything else.
Because I would think in the future there's probably going to be a lot more of that stuff as that technology comes about. Because I remember a number of years ago going to Edelbrock and they're building an intake manifold in a 3D printer. You know, I was like, this is cool.
What they can do.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So is it everything that you thought it would be?
More.
Really?
Jeff, actually, yes. As I said earlier, Mike and I have been working since 2008 together, and we're like an extended family at this point. And,
well, it almost becomes that, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I'm one of these hands-on guys, not that I did any work on the car. We had a running gag at the shop. Mm-hmm. Mike won't let me do any welding on the car because the last place I worked, it burned down. See, and I said, there's nothing I don't confirm or deny.
There's no video that says
no
I was involved.
There's no fingerprints. But anyway, so we made up a book that Jason and Marcel made.
Uh-huh.
And at the back of the book, it said, it was inside joke, Jeff did all the welding on his car. But I was down there every week when I was available and put a lot of miles on my cars and so far. I live about 63 miles from the shop.
Okay.
And with California, I went into heavy therapy because of the traffic. And having to go once a week. And, you know, and I developed a twitch that I kind of overcame.
I can honestly say I don't miss it. Yeah. But I do not miss it.
It's great when a customer comes to the shop, comes weekly to see the progress.
Yes.
And you can explain and show them what you've done.
Right. So, because that relationship is really important because of just the enormous amount of time that you've got.
They understand. They see what the build process is, what it takes.
Yeah.
And there's always decisions to be made along the way.
Oh,
you know,
thousands.
We do it this way, that way, you know. And he'll tell you, in all the years we've been working together, we never disagree on anything, you know. Because he's a lot younger than me and can run faster, so. But that has nothing to do with it, honestly. No, we just have that working relationship that just happened, introduced by a third party, and just hit it off. Because one of the things that I look at as an owner is, I'm not about to tell people who have made their life out of this kind of work what to do.
Yeah.
A lot of people in my position will be, you know, it's my way or the highway.
Right.
And that's not me. And the first car we ever did together, Mike's brother-in-law was working there at the time. And I said to Gordy, you have an idea? Let me hear about it. Let's talk about it. So we also developed a lot of, you know, we never did put that reel-to-reel tape deck we were going to put in the 65,
that,
you know.
But
oh, you want to
put we joked about it.
We joked about it.
You know, hide that somewhere in the trunk.
What else can we do, you know? And he's an old guy, so he, you know, I relate to reel to reel.
I have one of those. I don't use it, but I have one.
Want to borrow my tapes?
Most people don't know what that is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That technology has evolved.
And it's it's R-E-E-L, not R-E-A-L for you youngins.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So what was one of the most difficult things to accomplish on the car, do you think?
Mm.
Or most challenging?
Most challenging was the plating. It's a two-step plating process, advanced plating, did all the plating.
Okay.
It's a nickel finish, but there's also a satin nickel finish. That
really?
Was very difficult for Advance. It was very difficult for us to work with that.
Uh-huh.
That was probably one of the biggest challenges.
That was just the thing in the news about the fact that California is pushing all those processes out of California. And you know, you kind of have to understand what's going on there because it's a nasty process. But a car like this, you have to have it.
You have to have it. It's the chrome plating, a nickel plating, copper, whatever it might be that.
So the nickel is a separate. It's a similar process, but then the overplate is that the part of it.
Yeah,
that's different?
And then creating the satin was very difficult, and we wanted something different. You know,
we
wanted to be out there with the nickel plate instead of a chrome. The nickel looks a little bit more elegant.
Okay.
And the satin was even that little bit much.
And where was the satin on the car?
Throughout the different areas, the wheels are satin plated.
Okay.
In the grill area, on the dash, on the exhaust, on the pipes. There's quite a bit.
And, wow. Yeah.
And advanced plating doesn't like us for that. We wanted something different, you know, and that's it is.
So you
kind of
pushed them a little bit. It was a little bit outside their comfort zone.
So that might have been the hardest thing. You know, everything else just moves, you know, if you have a good team, which I did, and that's very important, and it just, it moved flawlessly in a sense.
Yeah, yeah. So we'd like to thank our sponsor, ARP and ARP-bolts.com. And I mean, we all three build cars. We all work on this stuff. And
I tinker.
Yes, we all build.
Yeah, and you know what? It's kind of a really cool multiple purpose fastener for me, because there's all the science and all the technology, which is bottomless. Trust me. Unbelievable amount of research that they put into these things.
Absolutely.
And on top of it, you get them out of the package, and they're absolutely beautiful, which I've joked before. It's like jewelry for your car. And
they're pre-oiled.
When we're building a high-end car, there isn't anything else going on. It's part of the criteria for me to have them lining the engine bay, not just on the engine, everywhere.
Yeah. Right.
So you get all the strength, the durability, the reliability, and fantastic good looks.
Sure.
Kind of like Jeff here.
And without peer. Without peer.
Anybody else, you know what?
Or peer.
Without peer. There's nobody else that does
that
what
is,
they do.
It is. So check them out at arp-bolts.com, and they can help you out.
Get a turnkey manual transmission conversion from American Powertrain for your muscle car, classic truck, or custom. American Powertrain offers a complete line of parts and accessories handling everything you need from the back of the block to the differential. One of the largest distributors of Tremec transmissions, American Powertrain has the parts you need to install a TKX 5-speed, Magnum T56 6-speed, or anything else you can dream up. They offer custom hydraulic clutches, cross members, bell housings, clutches, shifters, crate engines, and more. And remember, save the stick. Check out American Powertrain at AmericanPowertrain.com or call their sales line at 931-646-4836.
In the process, you now changed your shop slightly.
Yeah, it was in Southern California for 23 years. Mm-hmm. I was in Santa Ana. And during the COVID and other issues, I have a place in Lake Havasu. Built a garage on my property.
Okay.
And at that time, I said, you know what? It's time to do the move. And so about 2.5 years ago, we moved to Southern California. So now it's just myself and my son. We work together. So.
Excellent.
We work on a few projects. 27.
27, okay. Yeah.
Great kid, and we have fun together. And
lots of skill. So is he more of a fabricator, or what's it? A little bit of everything.
He's got a great teacher.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Honestly. Which is great, because a lot of people, you know, you don't realize it. Like a lot of people have said, wow, your son's working with you.
Yeah.
Isn't that normal?
Yeah. Just,
I think a lot of people maybe not have that relationship or knowing he loves the same things that I do.
That's very cool. So. Yeah. So Lake Havasu gets a little warm there in the summertime.
It does.
Because I was just on a trip with my friend Will Hansel. He had a 31 Roadster that he had TCI do a bunch of work to. He shipped it from Detroit to L.A. And then in the process, so this was last summer, and he's telling me all this stuff's going on. And eventually he said, so you're just going to ship the car home when you're done? And he goes, no, I'm going to drive it. So I said, well, who's going with you? Because it's the budget beater. If you guys know, back in, I think it was 93, he built this 31 Model A Roadster, small block Chevy TCI chassis, turbo 350, 8-inch, you know, very traditional looking thing, but a you know, kind of the early rat rod. And he goes, no, I'm just, I don't have anybody to go with me. So I said, well, I'll go with you. So we left in September, which was ridiculously hot. Mm-hmm. And the car overheated 3 times just trying to climb the hill on 15 to get to Baker to start heading east, right? Yeah. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, this is going to take forever if we have to stop every 5 miles and pour water on the radiator. So it turned out the coolant was a little bit low and everything else, but we stopped in Havasu City that night. We got there at 10 o'clock at night. It was still 98 degrees. Oh, yeah.
It's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat, though. Yeah,
it's a dry heat.
That's always the image of the skeleton out there. It's a dry heat. Yeah. But it turned out that part of it was the vacuum advance didn't work on the distributor, so we fixed that, and it was 3 quarts low on coolant, which had something to do with it. You know, so
that'll
we got
do
it.
It
squared away. So so we survived. We survived. Yeah, so excellent. So do you do a lot of boat stuff too then? Because that's a big boat city.
You got to have a boat, and in the summertime you'll be in the water half the time. You know? Have a beer in one hand, just floating in the water. You know,
it's
I enjoy that. You know, I've had several boats, so
So any plans with this thing now? You're going to...
Well, we're going to complete 23. We go to Tulsa in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And then we have about a week or 10 days in between, and then we're going to do some more ISCA shows.
Okay.
To try to qualify for 24, although I don't know whether we'll compete if we qualify. You need to get 4 points. I don't know whether you understand the situation.
Okay.
But you need 4 points. Doesn't matter any more than that. It's superfluous.
Okay.
And you get a point by either being the best customer at a show or outstanding customer at a show or a combination of best paint, best upholstery, okay, best design, whatever. And we qualified this year and went, that's what we were doing in Cincinnati earlier. Okay. And then we go Salt Lake City, Boise, Portland, Oregon, and then we have another week or two in between, then we go to Spokane.
Wow, so this is almost like a full-time job.
It sounds like
the NHRA tour, right?
It takes a lot of
race here and here every weekend.
A lot of planning, wow, you know, that
yeah,
goes
logistics,
into it.
Sure.
And I have, aside from Mike, I have the best team that anybody could imagine. I mean, these guys know a lot of these people long before I met them, because I met them through Juan and Maria and Huppy and Craig, and these people take good care of the old you know, did you forget your teeth again? Jeez, I don't know. Anyway, but that's our plans, and then we finish up with John's other show, which is in Sacramento in April.
In April.
And then after that, we don't have anything planned simply because our car...
You'd be exhausted.
Well, yeah.
That's
I mean,
a lot of travel.
You know, and the car's tired from driving
sure.
from place to place. Not hardly. Anyway, we have no side windows on the car by design.
Okay.
The upholstery comes right up to the edge of the metal, as you can see in the picture. And so we don't do outdoor shows because we don't want to risk... You know, one thing Mike refused to put in the car was bilge pumps. See, so that we can't do outdoor shows because we have no bilge pumps.
No protection.
And he knows bilge pumps. He's got boats
and all.
You know,
I'm just
saying. But the other thing we didn't want to risk was we don't know how the top would react to rain.
Okay.
You know, it's a delicate material. In fact, our upholstery guy was just here before we came over. And he has said to Mike, I don't know how you clean this if it gets dirty.
Really?
And we were at a show in Cincinnati.
Which is a concern. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were at a show in Cincinnati.
Yeah, somebody spills up soda on it or something. Exactly.
Well, we were worse.
No, I'm sure it does.
Oh. Worse. We were parked next to a whole bunch of big diesel-powered 18-wheelers.
Oh.
And one of the guys really, I guess, was paying back somebody for something that he thought he was wrong. So he started the truck up at the end of the show and ran it for about 10, 15 minutes, revving it up till the entire arena was full of smoke. I went outside. I said, nah, this...
We covered the roof of the car just because that soot could
come
over. Oh,
yeah, and that could never get it out.
You'll never clean it.
So other than that, that's...
So that falls under the category of unintended consequences,
that's right?
You know, he wasn't thinking about your top. He was thinking
about some other guy, right? He was just showing off
is what he was.
And is what it is. But that's probably going to be it for the car. We've competed now. 2020 was a wash, as you know, as everybody knows.
Sure.
We did Detroit, then we did Chicago the week after. And then Mike and I got home on a Monday, and everything shut down Wednesday. The NBA shut down. Everybody shut down.
Everything, for COVID,
and
sure.
And then we did one more show online for Good Guys, and we were lucky to win the Good Guys Custom of the Year.
Okay.
But that was all by videos and
really?
So forth.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Which had to be very strange, I would think.
It is. It is
strange.
Qualify
for a car show, being just showing pictures of your car.
Well, you know, horses for courses will do what they want us to do. You know, somebody says somebody friends of ours will say, "Why are you going to Tulsa?" I said, "Because that's where the show is."
Sure.
You know, it's like Mount Everest. Why?
Right.
Because it's there.
Yeah.
Right.
It's there.
I said they don't bring them to us. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have them bring them to us.
That would be excellent. That would be great.
Right.
Yeah.
Give us the award, write the check, and be on your way.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, have a nice day. So hopefully I would try to sell it in one fashion or another towards the end of this year, the beginning of next year. Just because sometimes these cars lose relevance. The Ramweilers, who won the Riddler the year that we were there, 2020, we're very, very close friends with them now. And Brady and I, the older brother, we talk about the relevance of the car. Okay. You know, like people are coming up to us now and, oh, we were here last year. Well, we were here last year. And I don't know whether the judges feel similarly. You know, we also feel that our year in 2020 was a pretty strong year, because many of the cars, aside from Brady's and mine, have won a lot of awards at different shows that were grade A cars 2020. Yeah. But then in 21, we did a bunch of shows, and even more last year in 2022. And I think I have a total of about 8 altogether, Jeff. So
Wow.
We're hoping, good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll do all of that. Yeah.
Amazing. So have you been doing this your whole life, building cars like this and competing in shows?
I was probably, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old. And I remember driving with my folks, other than the time I was kidnapped, but I was driving with my folks and looking at cars and reading all the magazines, you know, when Rod and Custom was still there, Carcraft, all these magazines.
Yeah.
Your old magazine, etc., getting ideas, learning from this, learning from that.
Sure.
The problem, as I said earlier, was you'd go to a shop, I say, and my first car, as I said, was customized. Same French headlights as on this car. But when I said to the guy at the shop, can you French my headlights? He says, it has nothing to do with kissing. I said, it's just my headlights.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, didn't know.
Now, more importantly, I think from their point of view was they didn't know what to charge. You know,
They probably didn't know how much work it was going to be.
Well, that's the whole thing. Yeah. You know, time is money.
Sure.
And I believe that this shop in the town where I grew up on Long Island, I believe there was a guy that was probably in his 20s, maybe the early 30s. He was a car guy already, and I think he did a lot of the work, maybe on his own time at night and so forth, and I'd stop in and see it, you know, how they were doing it.
Yeah.
And I really didn't do all the work in one shot because it was money. Yeah.
Sure, sure.
Well, I mean, what I paid for my first Oldsmobile didn't take care of the wheels on this Oldsmobile. You know, times are changing.
Yeah.
But I've always considered myself a car guy, and when I've gone to high school reunions with my girlfriend, Sheila, I'll say people will probably remember me because of my cars or whatever.
Yep.
And I'm very proud to be associated with that. And I'm also very proud as to what Mike accomplished to be at that upper echelon that very few cars make.
Yeah.
You know, and as I said, we're just... Never take it for granted that whatever we win, and we're not sore losers. You know, some of the guys in our level who shall go nameless are sore losers.
Yeah.
Because
they expect to win. Yeah.
Well, here's the concept that I've developed. People will come up to you, as they do to us and all these other nights. Oh, that's a beautiful car. How long did it take you? Whatever.
Yeah.
If they buy into that in their head, now they're disappointed, and it's a struggle not to buy into that because everybody likes compliments, you know. And it's not like, oh, who built that piece of crap, you know. That's a new one I haven't heard yet. But you do enough shows, you'll hear it. But seriously, I said, yeah, but the key is they don't vote. So 8 million people can tell you,
I love that car,
I'd like to drive it home,
but they're not the judges.
But there's 6 or 7 or 5, depending on the shows, especially ISCA. Yeah. This used to be an ISCA show at one time. And they're the ones that count.
Yes.
And they find things wrong with your car that you would have no idea what they're talking about until they point it out to you.
Hey, we'd like to thank our sponsor, ARP-Bolts.com. We got a fantastic little backdrop here. They make an outstanding series of bolts, almost anything you would need for engines, chassis, things like that. In fact, we were at lunch today, and a guy asked you about the bolt on the back of your shirt, and I said, well, it's really about a head bolt. They neck the stem down of the bolt on a short small block Chevy head bolt, so the clamp load is even across three different head bolt lengths on a small block Chevy. And, you know, so that's the kind of technology that you get out of sure. ARP. And we've all got stories on all that right, stuff.
Well, but, for a translation of what he said, call ARPbolts.com.
but the message is that you can't get any better than that.
No, you cannot.
There you go.
Nope. Excellent.
And then just check them out at ARP-bolts.com. We'd like to thank our friends at InTheGarageMedia.com. They have three fantastic magazines. They've got Classic Truck Performance, they have Modern Rodding, and my favorite, All Chevy Performance, with Nick, my buddy Nick,
as
the editor.
Oh, you're so biased.
So, correct. Yes, of course. Yes. But they're doing print media, which yes. is, of course, our favorite. So,
in color and everything.
In color and everything, yes. and you can get your car on the cover of one of those books, right. which is
right.
a fun deal. A
great yeah. tech.
Great tech. By you know, not always written by me, but yeah. People. Yeah.
Not
yeah.
always written by me.
That's right.
Just so pick it up and read it.
At yes. InTheGarageMedia.com, and they're our friends, and they will thank you. And I on the other side of that coin, I would think that it would be very difficult to be a judge, because so much of this, and this is why I got into drag racing and autocross racing and road racing, is it's a very objective evaluation. If he gets there first, and if I'm second, it's there very it clear I got beat, right? But with the show stuff, it's very, very subjective. Yeah. And one judge may think that you absolutely walk on water, and the next guy thinking, who built this piece of crack? Yeah. So, and there's no control over that. It's or like the Olympics where it's always back in the day where the Russian judge will go 2 and everybody else is given, somebody a 10. So the subjective part to me, I thought, man, that's difficult to get involved with, and then you have to be able to accept that, yeah. Whatever it is, knowing that, because the judges are going to be different at the next show, correct?
Well, as Mike knows, hasn't been a part of it, so I don't want him to be indicted if I get indicted. But we do have a way that we've come up with for controlling the judges that, involve a little exchange of cash. We have, no, seriously, that's only, for those of you out there, my name is Phil Schwartz. Anyway, seriously, we have I have a running gag with one of the ISC judges in Chicago. His name is Jim, and we were there, as I said, in 2020, and he was under the car looking. When he came out there's seven judges. They're all over the car yeah. with flashlights. You've sure. probably witnessed it. And I said, hey, Jim, did you see the money? Did you find the money? He said, no, where was the money? I can't get under there with you. It'll be too obvious. So we had this whole running gag for the weekend.
He's still looking for that money.
He's still looking for that money.
Well, yeah, no, but I drew him a map.
Yeah.
See, I said, and I here I put X's.
X marks the spot?
Yeah, yeah. Up here on this one I put 3 X's for that's where the whiskey is up there, and then Saturday night, the judging's already been done, but Saturday night I look over, there's Jim was under the car. I said, what are you doing under the car? I'm looking for the money. I said, I drew you a map. I said, look, if I come back next year, I'm going to put lights where the money is, so you'll get it.
Big but, neon sign. Look here.
Folks, no money exchange dance.
Just a joke, right?
Just a joke, son.
We do always say, why are we doing this? And I told Jeff one time, I go, we're doing this because we're having fun. So when we go to these shows,
ultimately,
if we win, we don't win, we're having fun. We're meeting people.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
That's the experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was always an ongoing joke that we say, why are we doing this?
We're having fun, right?
Yeah. We're having fun. Like,
I try and convince myself of that when we're out racing somewhere and we tore the car up and it's up on jack stands. You got the whole drivetrain out of it and you're covered in grease and oil and stuff like that. And I look at my friend and go, we're doing this because we're having fun, right?
Yeah.
You
know? When does it start?
When does the fun start? Yeah, exactly. We could be just sitting in a lawn chair over there drinking beer instead of doing this, but this is what we're doing because we're having fun. So, but and it's difficult to convince people who are not car people that it is fun, you know.
Yeah.
But the other side of it is when you're knee deep in grease and you're all tore up and they say, sure. But you like working on cars. And it's like, not always. When they break and when they don't do what they're supposed to do,
sure.
or it didn't turn out the way it should have, you know, which I'm sure happens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have this process and you do the process and it didn't work. And then
start over.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's probably something else that the people that see the final product don't have an appreciation for was evolution of the build.
Unless they've done it themselves, they have no
idea. Because I don't. I couldn't. You know, it's like I long ago decided, no, I'm going to be a racer because I can't do this. You know, I can't afford to pay anybody else to do this because I'm just working for a car magazine. So, because my prettiest cars end up getting destroyed in the shop. Mm. You know, jack handles fall on them. Stuff just, gets beat up. They got beat up far worse in the shop than they did, you know, on the road.
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So what's next?
Really nothing.
Yeah, just enjoy this
one for a while. Because of time and money.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm much older than you think. whatever you think. But seriously, it is time and money. And
yeah.
I mean, my creative mind is always working. I'm always looking at things. But
sure.
At the same time, this, as close friends of mine said, this is my lifetime achievement award.
There you go.
In Tulsa, I won their big award going for the gold.
Uh-huh.
And they asked me to say a few words, which is very difficult, as you can explain. You know, a few words is not in my vocabulary. But anyway, I got up there, and the joke just went over their head. I said, listen, this is my lifetime achievement award. You're not going to have the band play me off the stage. They didn't get it, but you know what I mean. You know,
right, right.
Hurry up. You know, the guy's won an Academy Award, and he's being.
And they're all going to get the hook out.
Yeah, right. So, but you had asked me before whether I was always a car guy, and you said people don't understand or appreciate. Well, one of those was my dear, dear mother, who is the sweetest woman ever. And she would come in the garage when my friends and I were doing stuff with the cars.
Sure.
Nothing like this. I mean, engine stuff,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that was such a nice car.
Yeah, you destroyed
and
this car.
She knew all my friend Irving.
Oh yeah.
What are you? Oh, does your parents know you're doing this? You know, Mom, we'll give you back your space.
Yeah.
But you know, I'll pull your car in as soon as we're done. And
sure.
And somehow it worked, you know. And my ancestors were not. I think I got my genes, not Levi, but I got my genes from my father.
Okay.
Who always had really nice cars, as I remember, and I have older cousins who have confirmed that.
Uh-huh.
But there weren't. It was nothing to do with customizing, you know.
Right.
Packers, or I think they had like that Woody Ford out there. I think he had one of those back in the day.
Yeah.
And. Then eventually they had Cadillacs, and you know that was the gold standard back in those days, which is why I never wanted a Cadillac because those were for old people.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Me, right? Anyway.
It's interesting how Cadillac has redefined themselves.
Which is
really, I mean, kudos to them because when they first started doing it, it's like, I don't know, this is really what you should be doing, but it's worked.
They had a good idea.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm kind of the same way. My mom would, you know, always refer to my big block Chevelle is my gold-plated car. Just because of every nickel I had, you know, you would pour right into the car.
Right?
Yep, exactly.
Which is why it didn't run right. You shouldn't put the money in the car.
Or I'd break it and then, you know,
the cylinders get hung up on quarters. I'm just saying, I don't know these things.
Yeah, I would break it and then I would have to either get a ride home with a friend or a caller and say, come get me to the station because my car's broken and you need to come get me. So about, you got other projects in the works right now?
Got a few projects.
Okay, excellent. Along the
projects?
Same okay.
No, oh, nothing like that.
What's the personal one? What's that?
A Suburban.
Ah.
69 Suburban.
Okay, okay. A three-door?
A three-door. Well, I have a original three-door that I built some 25 years ago. It's actually here, building 9.
Okay.
I'm also building another one. Me and my son together. So that's one of my personal projects.
Okay. And is that more of a driver custom, or that's
it's supposed to be a driver shop truck.
Okay,
but it's the snowball effect,
which of course is very hard to control that because it's like, well, long as we're here, long as we're here. So what drivetrain on that? LS motor or
no, keeping it with a little small block 327 with an overdrive.
Okay,
just keeping it simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doing an air ride on it. Uh-huh. Something fun. Yeah.
I just had a friend of a friend, his older guy, he's got I think a 68 three door, and I just learned yesterday that it might come up for sale, and I'm thinking, I just don't need another car, but it's like I've always wanted one, you know, and I tried to buy one. A friend of mine had one for sale, a 68 three door, and I literally measured the truck because it's long. Mm-hmm. And this is when I was living in my old house in Van Nuys, and the driveway was extremely narrow, and so the house was here and the chain link fence was here, and it was so wide that it would fit down the driveway, but only if you pulled the mirrors all the way in.
Cut
and then
the chain link fence off.
Well, it was my neighbor's it was my neighbor's fence, so I couldn't do that, and literally you wouldn't be able to open the door. So if I parked it next to where the front porch was, the tailgate would hang over the sidewalk, and the cops would write you tickets for obstructed walking, because I got nailed a couple of times doing that, you know, stacking cars in the driveway. So it was like I went back to him. I said, I can't buy it. It won't fit. It won't fit in my driveway. So I have a little more room now in Iowa where you can get away with that.
Yeah,
so
there you go. New project. You know,
the problem is there's no place to put it. That's the biggest problem. We'd have to sit outside, which is not good. But that's great. So and then shop projects for customers.
We're still working on this one. This one requires a lot of, you know, maintenance, upkeep, cleaning, et cetera.
Yeah.
So that's almost a full-time
job.
Sure. And I do have another customer. We've built a L89 67 Corvette.
Okay.
Built it. It was here about 4 years ago. We won best overall restored car.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's been sitting in his collection, and I just got it, and it needs the maintenance, you know, like any car that sits requires, you know, service.
I think they actually deteriorate faster.
They do.
Don't you? They feel that they deteriorate faster if they just sit around?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. We've had issues with this car, and we don't drive it very far. People ask me, how far do you drive that car? I said, depends on how close we park the trailer. I mean, that's the truth of the matter.
Yeah.
But seriously, Mike and the fellow who built the EFIs, it has what
so
looks
EFI'd?
Like...
Okay, so it has electronic fuel injection on it, rather than
carburetor. But it looks like the old Stromberg 97.
The 2G
carburetors. Okay, right.
There's six of them, but they have injectors inside.
Excellent. Okay, so you can control fuel much better because that's an issue. I had a friend of mine that had a 65 Chevelle. We did a feature on it in the magazine many years ago, and he was complaining that the ignition would load up on it really badly because it was running rich, it was carbureted. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, how often do you drive it? And same thing. It's like in and out of the trailer because didn't want to drive it because, of course, then it requires weeks to clean it, right? So it was like, well, we need to lean this thing way out to make it. Yeah, to make it.
That's the worst.
And then you just have to change the oil that much more often because people, you know, it's not the mileage, it's the cold startup. Yeah. It never really ever warms up.
And O-rings dry out and things like that.
Yep,
and,
yep.
Mike designed a lot of it to where you don't see like the power steering or the power brakes. It's all underneath the dashboard.
Right.
Now, getting to them when they have a leak
is an issue.
Yep. More often than we care.
I just finished a story on there's a company that Malwood USA that makes a hydraulic clutch release where, you know, they put the master cylinder on the pedal itself, mm-hmm. for specific applications, Chevelles, El Caminos, Mustangs, Corvettes, and you can actually mount the master cylinder reservoir for the clutch under the dash too. I did that so they wouldn't have to drill a hole in the firewall, but it does. You got to crawl underneath. You got to be able to service it. So I had to position it high enough that it would fill the master cylinder, mm-hmm. but yet still be able to get the lid off. Get something. And so I ended up in the story. I even talked about there's a little, almost like a giant eyedropper and
a little squeeze bottle
to fill it because you're not going to be able to see it. You can't see it. I suppose you hold a mirror up there. So that's But that's the stuff that again people don't really understand. So in terms of what it takes. Because you have to maintain these things too.
Sure.
So whose fuel injection system? I'm just curious.
The fuel injection?
Yeah.
It's Holly on electronics.
Okay.
All right. And the David EFI.
Okay.
EFI Trend. He's the one that machines.
Which is a good choice because carburetors on this application where you're driving it just.
It's also for looks, you know.
Yeah.
We were trying to achieve a
right,
look.
Right.
We were. Right. We looks. Excuse me if you're interrupting. We were advised by a fellow by the name of Bob Millard, who's very well known in the car custom car uh-huh. world as a judge, as a commissioner of shows. He was mm-hmm. he was co-commissioner of Detroit Autorama for many years.
Okay.
And he kind of took Mike and I under his wings. When we first met him, we had only met this one time to begin with, and he spent over an hour with us, do this, do that. It was his suggestion. He said, the judges like if you see the old look, but the new technology.
The new technology.
So right
two.
Away,
yeah.
Mike
yeah.
hooked up with Dave at EFI, and we only run two of them. And even with just two of them, right, Mike?
Yeah.
We have a heck of a time tuning them. He and Dave have been on the phone with the computers
yep.
and so forth. And, you know, I don't understand.
And it's for that reason. All we do is fire it up and, you know,
right,
move
right.
it into the trailer, out of the trailer.
But then the other side of that is, too, that you have to hide all that stuff. So it looks traditional, but yet it still has electronic control.
You got to get to it.
And that's an art form in itself.
Sure.
How did you do that, by the way? Do you just route the wires away from
the you just try to
behind?
Hide everything behind the firewall, underneath the dash, underneath the
seat. So all the controllers
the
are...
trunks.
Okay.
Because you just don't want to see that. Now, I'm building something like this, which is a vintage, old school. You don't want to see a bunch of wires.
You can't have an Anaconda this size of a wiring harness. Right,
exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So. It's well hidden.
Yeah, and that's because I know with my friend Scott, I look at his stuff all the time and go, how'd you do that? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I know it's there. I can kind of see a suggestion of a piece of hard line tubing that you've got all the wires are hidden inside.
Yeah,
exactly. Yep. And then I remember one time I gave him a recommendation and then ended up having to change it, you know, over the phone. He called me up later and says, you just cost me a day's worth of work. I'm sorry about that. You know? I said, I should have been smarter than the first recommendation. So, wow. Yeah.
Well, it's like the commonly used phrase today. If it was easy, everybody would be doing
it.
Yep. Not everybody can.
And then that's the part that just astonishes me. I mean, when you look at all this stuff and just start really looking at it, because I remember asking Scott when. Now, are there major body modifications to the car?
Well, the car, 3/4 of the car is hand built. So the quarter panels are metal shape. The hood is all metal. It's been formed. The trunk.
Really? So you didn't start with that's not a production hood.
No.
So what's different?
Just the design, the concept, the you know radius corners.
Okay.
It's been shortened.
Really.
The underside has all been smooth.
You
know, so, just try to take the original hood and make it look pretty.
Mm-hmm,
you know, it doesn't work like that.
You're right.
So the trunk, you can't see from this picture, but the trunk with the Continental kit's all recessed into the trunk.
All right.
And that's all just metal.
That's all metal.
The roof is all out of aluminum tubing, and then it's wrapped in a surfboard. It's actually shaped in a surfboard foam.
Okay.
And then it's wrapped in the canvas material.
Okay. So there's a lot
of stuff to the car.
Yeah.
We have like a build book, and if you read the build book or you look at the pictures, you can kind of see what was done.
Right. Wow. So I remember Scott telling me one time about a car that he did where, so like your fenders have been reshaped and changed and cut and spliced and pie shaped and all that.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And yet, looking at it here, it looks relatively stock. But see, that's the thing. So the thing would be, you can't really do this in a show, but if you parked a stock one next to it, then it'd be shocking. That's when you'd see it.
That's when you can really see it.
Yeah,
all the changes and everything that's done.
Mm-hmm.
Chip Foose did that at Detroit Autorama. It was one or two years before 2020, because Mike and I went there for 5 years to do our homework as to what they expect. It's a whole different culture there.
Really? Really, so do that much research in order to know what to build and how to do it and what they expected.
He built a 65 Impala, and behind it, and he's the only one that's been able, because he's Chip Foose, well deserved.
Right.
He's a friend at this point. And he got a 20 by 30, and he put the custom and the stock.
Okay.
And on the stock, it was white. The stock one, he marked with magic marker as to what he did.
Wow.
Lowered the roof 3 inches, opened the
wheel well. So the whole car was marked up with magic marker.
Oh, yeah.
So it probably looked like a Kansas road map.
Well, yeah. Yeah, sort of, yes. Yes,
or in my case, an Iowa roadmap, right?
Get in a plug for hometown, right? Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
It didn't.
So so your car would look like that too if you'd had
Wow.
I don't think we'd have enough magic markers to color.
Man, I mean, it's just, and it's mostly welding, right? Because it's all mostly this is still
sheet metal shaping and welding. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't say or deny whether welding had anything to do with it.
You did it all.
Because I did it all, yes. At night when no one is looking.
Well, listen, we could probably do this for another hour, but our time is up.
Yes.
Again, we want to thank our friends at ARP-Bolts.com for helping us out on this thing, and also the guys at the Grand National Roaster Show for giving us our facility here this time. So, it's a lot of fun. We got more to do, and thank you guys for showing up and helping
us
out.
Thanks so
much,
Jeff.
We covered much of it, got you
absolutely.
Got you some recognition. Excellent car, fantastic.
Absolutely, thank you.
And,
just
keep watching.
It's these two guys that have a lot to do with
the
it.
The mystical guys behind the cameras, right?
Yeah. No, really. I mean, they made a video for us that shows in our display, that shows a lot of what we're talking about.
Okay.
And they also made the book that we give out. We used to give them out, but we show what was done.
Okay.
It's sitting
so maybe we can throw some of those images in there. Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks so much for hanging out with us, and we'll just keep telling you stories.